Hello, my friends, it's Andy and Hedy coming to you live from Yorba Linda, California for the Living Fearless Devotional.
A production of ResurrectMinistry.com, where we are harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel to every corner of the earth, as much as possible, wherever we can. You know, it is the means by which any of us achieve salvation. So the greatest thing we could possibly do as worshipers of the one true God is preach the gospel.
Yes.
So find, I hope you find something of interest on the website that maybe you've never seen before that will enrich your walk with Christ, and drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. There's a comment section. If you could subscribe to the newsletter, because we're going to be doing some announcements about my upcoming book, and yes, we really appreciate your support. Excited. It would be so fantastic if you would just do that. Just put your email in the newsletter. Sign up now for the newsletter function on the website. That would be great. And if you could just like, share, subscribe, all free things that you could do,
to help us.
We would really appreciate
Isn't there a fourth thing?
Well, I mean, if I said the other things are free.
Oh.
Not three. I said free. There would be three free things. One of them could cost you a couple pennies if you wanted to click the donate now button. But even if you don't want to, the other things are extremely valuable.
Yes. It would be fantastic. The other thing is that we want you to do is we want you to comment while you're watching. If you are watching, and not obviously if you're not listening to the podcast, which is a recorded version of the audio, but if you're watching live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, X, or Rumble, if you would comment, then just say hi. And then if you have anything to say about the devotional by A.W. Tozier that I will be reading here in just a few minutes, or even the scripture that we will be reading, which I'm going to share with you what that's going to be. But just type something in the comments about whatever it is that's coming to your mind when you're doing that. Or if we ask a question of you, if you would respond, that would also be fantastic. If you have a prayer request, make sure and include that in the comments, because towards the end of the show, we will be going to prayer, and we would love to include your prayer request.
Yes.
That would be fantastic. And then we have some sponsors. LifeWise is one of those sponsors. We have quite a few people that love some of the products that come out of LifeWise. So go to livelifewise.tv if you need help sleeping, or you have some inflammation, or you want to wake up and have some excitement in your life.
Yes.
And you want to use Lyft. We have Lyft right here. And this, you just take one of these little packets, put it in some water, about 12
That's
to 20.
It's going to create excitement in your life.
This is one of the additional things.
Wow. Include,
yes. So much excitement. It'll give you some energy. So make sure and check that out. And then we are broadcasting on StreamYard. Go to getstreamyardnow.com. If you have a show or something you want to share with others, a hobby that you may want to put together and do a weekly broadcast on what it is that you like to do. I saw one the other day for kayaking. This guy takes his phone out onto the you know, like a harbor.
Like on his hip.
On a lake.
Like a body cam?
No, he puts it on a little, like a selfie stick that's on the front of his kayak.
He could do that too.
And he kayaks and he talks to the
phone. If our kids can watch another guy playing video games.
Right.
And that guy makes millions of,
right.
You know, in his sponsorship, a guy kayaking could probably do the same.
I've seen other guys, they do.
I'd rather watch the kayaking because at least you're looking at nature. Right.
And him and his face.
Oh, I thought it's pointing out.
Well, I'm sure he turns it around every so often, but whenever I've watched, it's him talking while he's kayaking.
Wow, that sounds torturous.
He has viewers. People watch.
Of course they do.
I don't know.
Like EMDR. EDMR.
What's that?
They will be watching people chew.
Chew and make noise. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I would shoot somebody. what I want you to do now is turn your Bibles to Romans 5:6-11. We'll be reading that shortly after the devotional. So make sure and have that prepared in your Bible. In the meantime, we are going to read from A.W. Tozier for the Christian Leader. It's June 9th at the time of this live broadcast. And the title is Worshippers from Rebels.
That's all of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That's Romans 5:11. Sometimes evangelical Christians seem to be fuzzy. Did I yell in your ear?
I'm so loud.
Sometimes. Evangelical Christians. I sound like NPR.
That's nice.
NPR.
That's nice. I like it.
Sometimes, Hedia. Evangelical Christians seem to be fuzzy and uncertain about the nature of God and his purposes in creation and redemption. In such instances, the preacher, so sorry, you jump so hugely.
It really, your cop voice comes out every now and then. Oh, yeah. And I feel like I need to hold my hands up and freeze.
Yeah, when you want people you to
think, no matter what you say, I think of freeze. You may be talking about ice cream and I'm like, freeze.
All right, I'm going to settle down. Okay. But that was just a really strong, like, it's almost like jump out of there.
It was a jump scare.
All right, let me start all over again. Sorry, folks. Sometimes evangelical Christians seem to be fuzzy and uncertain about the nature of God and his purposes in creation and redemption. In such instances, the preachers often are to blame. There are still preachers and teachers who say that Christ died so we would not drink and not smoke and not go to the theater. No wonder people are confused. No wonder they fall into the habit of backsliding when such things are held up as the reason for salvation. Jesus was born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, died on the cross, and rose from the grave to make worshipers out of rebels.
Lord, keep the cross in the forefront of our evangelical preaching and fill us with your longing for sinners to become worshipers. Amen.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've talked quite often about, you know, that's one of the things that I think keeps men in particular, and maybe some women, but men in particular, that they think if they follow Jesus, that they have to give up.
Going to the theater. Not the peekaboo theater. The peekaboo theater, you better give up. I'm just telling you right now, give up the peekaboo theater. But the regular movies.
I was going to go to, you know, going to the bar with your friends.
Yes.
Going to Vegas. Going to the river.
Right.
That all has to go. And I guess some of it has to go. If you can't keep a handle on it.
Right? If you can't everybody knows how to keep a handle on it. I don't think I've met anyone that can keep a handle on it.
True. So what's he saying here? What is it? What's the...
Christ died. I have a great example.
Okay, I want to hear this.
We had our friends at church today, right? Whose son just got married. We were talking about the arrangements for the couple. And
what
the
a story other, that was.
It was wild. So I told them, how'd you guys end up? Because I knew they paid. I was like, how'd you guys end up being the ones that paid? And she said, well, it's actually kind of a crazy story that the parents, the girls' parents, kept making us jump through these crazy hoops in order for them to be willing to pay. And I was like, okay, so like what? She said, well, they absolutely said absolutely no dancing. And she said, well, that's a deal breaker. I'm dancing at my son's wedding. You're like, what are you talking about? She's like, what? No, we're from XYZ country. We do not dance. And it was like a hill they were willing to die on. Now, do we know whether they just wanted to get out of paying? So they came up with like no apple juice.
I didn't think about that. That's a good.
Right. Absolutely no apple juice. They're like, what? Why no apple juice?
Because they go to the same church as all of us.
Right. But Pastor Jack's church, we all know, can be a little demanding. So that's also what Tozer's saying is you can't become a Pharisee. Don't become so legalistic and falsely legalistic because David danced. There is music and worship and dancing out of joy in the Bible. There's no restriction against dancing. So our friends ended up kicking up the cash for the wedding
because they wanted to dance.
They wanted to dance. She wanted to dance at her son's wedding, you know,
and they wanted to dance.
Yeah.
The husband and wife
wanted to dance. And so even up until the last minute, they were threatening them. We're not coming if you have dancing. And they're like, well, guess what? We're having dancing. So that's, I think, one of the things that Tosha's referring to is that you can't tell people that that one action, even drinking. Listen, swindlers, drunkards, and adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God, full stop. That's Bible. So you are not going to be a drunkard and inherit the kingdom. But you can't tell people alcohol is forbidden. It's not. Right. So that's what he's saying. It's like, don't make up rules. Don't become a Pharisee and say you have to wash your hands like this and that in order to enter the house of God.
What's the Kevin Bacon movie where they didn't dance and he
Footloose?
Footloose, yeah. I haven't heard this discussion about not being able to dance since Footloose.
Right.
I didn't know
what to do. The Mormons, too. I don't think the Mormons dance.
Interesting. You know, we may come up against this ourselves with the three girls that we have. Now, I don't know. I mean, is there an age limit? Like,
meaning having to pay?
Well, for, yeah, having to pay as the parents.
Courtney, we're done.
Yeah.
She's old enough that
she is. That's what I was wondering, because she's going to be 30 in April, next April.
I'm thinking over 25.
We right.
Should use a cutoff.
I would say 22.
Once you're a grown adult and you make your own money.
Yeah. I mean, you waited that long now. You
right?
Yeah. You got to pay for your own.
I think the idea is that you agree to help. Yeah. And they had a very funny condition. They told the kids, listen, we are not doing anything. So this is you don't get a wedding planner with this check. You get a check. If you want to put on your own wedding, more power to you. But do not look at me now as the father of the bride or whatever and think that I'm going to now pick out your colors and get you invitations. And I think that would have to be my condition too.
Okay, how about this one? Now, this ain't dancing, but so what about alcohol?
I would not serve alcohol at a wedding I pay for. If somebody else is paying, fine, but I would not pay to get people drunk. I cannot do that.
Like an all you can drink.
An open bar?
An open bar.
Absolutely not.
Can they be BYOB?
Are you
I'm planning on. We have to have this discussion.
Oh because, yeah, it's already an issue. I'm sure. Is it a tailgating party? Are they going to throw the top down and bring their own cooler?
Well, we already know that one of our kids, the other person, their family loves to partake.
Only one of the kids, or the four other kids?
But we don't know the other who they're going to marry.
Oh, you mean the potential spouse of that one? Yes. Oh, yeah. But yeah, no, yeah. But you have your whole, the other half of their own family.
I remember going to a wedding when I was a drinker and I was so upset that they weren't serving alcohol.
Well, I'll tell you.
I go, who has a wedding where they don't serve alcohol?
A family of drunks.
Yeah.
My uncles all worked around it. So because my dad stopped serving alcohol 30 years ago. So they would bring it in the car.
Tailgate.
They would put it in the car.
Yeah.
Put it in flasks, go down the hall to the hotel's bar, like every kind of trick you can think of, they would do, which is fine. If you do it at a venue where there is an open bar, like that's not our problem, but.
Right. Oh, you know what? It was the Mormon fact, because my ex-family, a lot of them were Mormon, and it was a Mormon wedding. And my mother-in-law and I, we went out looking for... They said had alcohol. We cannot possibly be at a reception and not be drinking. But
things you got to worry about.
Yeah.
Okay.
So interesting. So in regard to this devotional.
Well, and also in the situation you just told about the family, they'd be paying for the wedding because it's their daughter.
Yeah. Yep. So we would have no say.
Right.
Which is fine. So in relation to this devotional, we could try to stay on target here.
Well, we did. We were talking about false teachers telling a false gospel and confusing people.
Oh, okay. So that's why, no wonder they fall into the habit of backsliding.
Yeah.
When such things are held up as the reason for salvation.
Exactly. Because they just confuse people. So we had a great question from the audience. I'm not going to name names, but they sent me a question saying, well, how do you know... In response to our devotional from yesterday, I believe, they were asking, how do you know when someone's a false teacher or a bad teacher? And I don't want to get caught up in listening to somebody who's bad and find out months later that I've been, you know, putting nonsense into my head, or a slow creep. I think nowadays a bigger fear is the slow creep. My piece of advice that worked phenomenally well for me, since I had no Christian friends and I came to Christ online, was to be discipled. It's one of the commandments of the Lord. It is unfortunately a lost art, but it is seeking out discipleship. In other words, finding a mentor in the faith that you can trust. And it could be more than one. I had, I'd say three. And so I ran everything by one of those three people. Because you can't, you don't want to double guess everything, and you have to be able to trust someone. And so the easiest thing is to just filter them through people that you trust. And that's what discipleship is. If somebody's telling you, listen, you should, you know, read your Bible every day. These are the things you should try cutting out of your life. These are the way you should try to pursue holiness. And yeah, I found this new pastor. What do you think? I don't think it's biblical. I don't think you should listen to it. It's not a lord over you. It's a teacher. It's a discipleship. It's a friend. It's a mentor.
Cool. All right. Should we say hi to our friends there? I'll
let you go. Yay! Hello, ladies, Carrie and Coco. Hey, ladies. Ann Kelly's here. Hi. And Jan. Hello from Jim and Jan. Love you guys. Punch and cake were served at our reception 49 years ago. 250 people, and Chuck Swindoll did the marriage. Oh, that is glorious. I love that. That is the sweetest thing ever.
250. That's a lot of people.
Well, that church was huge, EV free.
Yeah. But you had to feed all those people. That's what I think about.
Oh, yeah. Jan. No, she said punch and cake.
Oh, punch and cake.
Yeah.
No food, no chicken, no.
How did you get away with that, Jan? I love that. And Coco, I pitched in a flat amount per wedding. End of that story. So you did not become the wedding planner either. I was like, when she said it to me, I was like, oh, I got to remember to have that clause. Yeah. I am not the wedding planner. We have our ways. Verify against the Bible and agree with discipleship. That was Carrie's input. And Kelly says, yes.
All right. What scripture have to say about this whole?
Oh, this is the reconciliation. Romans 5.
6 through 11.
You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for us. Sorry. I suddenly was wondering what version we were reading, and I got distracted. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen.
Amen.
All that to say, Christ died for everyone, not just the elect, not just those that would one day accept Christ, but he died for everyone. He died so that we can live. So those who believe in him, how much more of a life we will have as a result of being God's friends versus his enemies. So how much more then, as those reconciled to Christ, will we have a benefit in his life?
So then that gets us to the Bema seat.
Gets us, yes. Instead of the white throne judgment, yes.
And then we'll find out where we sit in the stadium. Yes. Front row or up in the
nosebleed. Stadium in the sky.
And how many crowns we get.
Oh, Coco's got wait, before you go, for 3 days now, just needed to hear a little bit. Let me know if you're gone already, but she was asking about Greg Laurie's Harvest Crusade. Coco was asking. I think it's an amazing event. I think everybody who lives in Southern California should go once in their life. I mean, Greg Laurie's Calvary Chapel through and through. He speaks more topically now. He used to be a lot more expository Bible verse by verse before. But just the crusade itself is a extraordinary experience.
I agree.
Right? Yep. You've gone several times.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the whole kit and caboodle.
The whole nine yards.
It's being there with so many people that are either believers or searching and
want to take their believing family.
Yeah. Lives. And then you see it move. You see the movement. You see this
sea of people coming down from the stadium into the field. And it's just, oh, it makes you cry. And the
emotion. Yeah. It's something else. God fills that stadium.
Yes.
I think it's
definitely worth it.
Yeah. Definitely go for sure. So we had Pastor Bob today over at Calvary Chapel East Anaheim.
We did.
Did I give you a Southern accent?
I did. I don't know why.
And I know we've been talking about worship the last couple of days, and we may have overdone the whole thing, but I'm not sure. Can you overdo it?
I can overdo worship.
But my gosh, that
Casey.
That Casey. The last song. It could, what she said before it. And told us to listen to the words and concentrate on the words of that song. Just, man, I thought my shirt was going to be all full of,
aww.
I was going to need a towel.
You were that touched.
Oh my gosh. It was, I've heard that song. How many times have we heard that song?
A billion years.
Over and over and over again.
Yes.
But I've never heard it like that.
Because it's Casey. It's her presence. She's got an anointing to usher us into the presence of the Lord. So the Lord fills the room where two or more are gathered. He is present, but it's also, and he gave a really great description about all of that, Pastor Bob, today, or I hope I'm not mistaking which sermon, because I listened to all of Pastor Jack too, but about the importance of attending church. Mm. Was that Pastor Bob? About the importance of being a church. It's just because the assembly, because he was saying it right before communion.
Yes.
No?
Yeah.
The importance of don't forsake the assembly of the saints is the importance is not just to be in community, but that we are the body. He is the head. So he comes to dwell with his people. So you're missing the presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Lord in that congregation when you don't come. Mm-hmm. So there was this spiritual significance that he is trying to impart to us of that why it's so important to be in church.
Do you remember the name of the song?
It's yeah, Billionaires.
Billionaires, that's right. You just said it. I already forgot. Years.
A billion. Lyric. Yeah.
Lyrics. I wanna.
A billion ways. A billion. Hold on. It'll pop up on my feed.
Yeah, sorry, folks. I just is it
so will I 100 billion times.
Oh, so will I. So
and it's a Hillsong song. So I 100 billion times.
There we go. Sorry, I wanted to. Oh man, it's gonna give me lyrics. God of creation there at the start, beginning before the beginning of time, with no point or reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. That was the first start of the tears. And I don't know why it was, the power of God.
Yes.
That, he just spoke. And 100 billion galaxies were born in the vapor of your breath. The planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. Oh, I'm already getting teary eyed.
You're so cute.
It is the most amazing. You got to listen. Corrine was saying she has to hear it. And I hope they replay the worship on the YouTube version? Sometimes they cut it out.
After the service, just like Jack, they'll cut it out after that day. But if you catch it on the day.
And maybe Facebook, I don't know if they broadcast on Facebook.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry, folks. But just.
Like Jessa, she cries every time she hears So Will I.
It is. I don't know. It particularly hit me today that Corrine, only thing you really need to do, you know, if you've heard the song before, is to really listen to the words. And I think it also has to do with the several days that we've been in this devotional talking about the power of Jesus and worship and the importance of worshiping. And it is, what is it we're worshiping?
Right.
Other than he just existed, you're worshiping the greatness and the power of God.
Right.
And that he sent his son down here for our sins. It's the whole thing.
The whole thing.
And I think that song just captures so much of it all.
What else do we have from Pastor Bob today?
Wow. I'm reading she's right. There's a lot of words in this song. It doesn't repeat until.
Third
chorus.
And this is the point he was repeating himself. So we're in Revelation 1, 12 and 13. And he was saying, so the really beautiful thing, if you're not listening, you really should, is Pastor Bob Copany is going through the book of Revelation, Calvary Chapel, East Anaheim. So if you juxtapose the way he teaches the book of Revelation to Pastor Jack Hibbs, a lot of you are students, listeners of Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack is very much focused on the eschatological significance of the book of Revelation. That is his expertise. That is his sweet spot, so to speak. And you learn a tremendous amount from the symbolism of that. The way Pastor Bob is teaching it is that we have to understand the book of Revelation personally and how it's trying to reveal Christ to us. And so in this particular couple of verses, when he's talking about John's vision, he says, and having turned, I saw the seven golden lampstands. And he says, those are clearly defined in the book as the churches. And he says that in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. So that's Christ. And he's saying God reveals himself in his church. He's standing amidst the lampstands. Blew my mind. I've never heard that interpretation. Mm-hmm. It is so simple and yet so significant. And that's where he gets to the point of why you have to be a church, because he reveals himself in his bride. This is his body. This is who he comes back for. This is who he lived for and who he died for. And so he reveals himself there. So he's like, you want to meet the Lord, you should be present in his church. And so even if you're like one of our friends who likes to hide in the back, it doesn't matter. You're still in the building. You don't have to socialize. You just have to be present.
Hello, Lisa Hernandez.
Hello, Lisa Hernandez. That song is divinely inspired. So many of their songs. I know people hate their guts, but you know what? I'm taking Pastor Jack's rationale, and I don't care who's singing it. I just like the words, as long as they're biblical.
Yep.
Yeah. Carrie says, listening to various good pastors can increase wisdom. Oh, absolutely. Mm. I don't know what I would do without my roster of pastors.
You even turned on Pastor Mark the other day. You haven't been doing that at bedtime much anymore because he likes me. He likes to raise his voice.
Yes.
And he startles you. I've seen you get startled with him too.
Right.
So I feel like I'm in good
company.
Good company.
Pastor Mark. I'm not clear what this series is about. Hmm. It's about the nature of God, but I don't know what book he's in. So I don't know if he's taking a break from books. But I loved his Samson, the book of Judges. His commentary on Judges was amazing.
I have to go back to that. Pastor Mark Driscoll, we're talking about in Scottsdale,
Trinity Church,
Arizona. Trinity Church. Amazing pastor. He's been through so much. It's I think what gives him so much wisdom is the trials and tribulations that he, much because of him, his own.
Yes, and his he own continues self. To go through trials and tribulations.
But he learns. I mean, he takes it and he has good mentors. One mentor kind of did him wrong the other day, but I think that he has the ability to look at, you know, things that he's gone through and use them powerfully as part of his testimony. Oh, you know, another thing is, I mean, we brought up Zara a lot this week. We're you know, Zara is like the topic of discussion a lot. But she had the opportunity today, right, to share her a little bit of her testimony.
Yes.
And so do you think this might be one of the first times she's able to share something that may?
I think so. And I wasn't even there.
Just did this.
Yeah, she did it all by herself.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
I love that. I think that's that could be one of those moments that I don't want to speak too much because the devil hears stuff, but it's one of those moments that it just takes you into the next
phase.
Next phase. Good.
Amen.
Thank you for that.
Yes. Phase. Oblique that was, references.
Yeah. That was a big word I was looking for. Next phase.
And Carrie's comment. Do we know what she's referring to? She
said, you don't tell.
Pastor Mark does. Do you get that?
No, I thought I had it for a second, but I don't see it. Explain, Carrie. I would love to know. Because Pastor Mark is one of my favorites.
And Lisa says, how brave. She gets it from her mama. Thank you.
You gave your testimony today, too.
I will. Because so sorry, it was brief. She didn't give a lot of details, but she was explaining to her new beau, his mother and father, why she does not see her father. So that gave her an opportunity to say, well, we were Muslims, and when we left Islam, my father no longer speaks to us. And so they were like, oh, wow. And so then I read her the scripture of Christ rewards you 100 times. Those that have left father, mother, brothers, sisters, will see their reward in heaven 100-fold.
Mm. That is that exact message that Jesus was sharing, is that your family will hate you.
Yes.
That is Zara's story, your yes. story. The minute you begin following Jesus,
family wants to kill you. What can you do? I'm gonna crash
it. I was happy just to leave it at don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. I'm sure if they can slit her at the roads easily, they would.
Oh my gosh.
We're mortad. We're infidels.
It's no wonder we both have a gun in our nightstand.
Right?
Oh my gosh. You never know.
You never know.
Can you imagine seeing your brother climbing through the window?
In dreams.
Really?
We have had spiritual battles numerous times in my dreams.
Wow. Surrounded by the people from your old
yes.
life.
Yes. It's horrible. They're such really? Nightmares. I can't even tell you. But he's a worshiper. But God willing, one day he'll come to faith in Christ.
Mm.
Oh, you did. You yelled. That's what he's talking about. He yells, you yell. That's funny. That's funny.
Okay. Anything else, Snooks?
I think that's it.
Any prayer requests? I don't know if I didn't see any come through, but yeah. We'll give you just a couple seconds if you guys have any prayer requests.
Lisa, speaking of, how are you feeling? Any prayer requests that we can have? I know.
Oh.
You were tired?
I have something.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Is
I don't even know.
Is this your prayer time or is this supposed to be our guest prayer time?
No, this is important. Oh, my gosh, Snooks. So, for 3 weeks, I've had horrific back pain.
Oh, this is a praise report.
Yes.
This is a praise
for all
report.
Of our people.
Yes.
All of our people. I could bear. I would stand up, and I look like. You remember when I had oxygen
yes.
tank, and I
do
you remember how I looked
back to those days?
I had oxygen tank, and I was pushing, and I was looking very, very old. Hurt my back the other day, and I couldn't. I was like that for a good yes. 15, 20 feet. I couldn't stand all the way up, and it took a while before I could stand. The pain was excruciating.
And you couldn't bend down and pick things
yeah.
up.
I couldn't put on shoes. I had to wear my flip flops. And I picked a piece of paper on the driveway. I told the story. And when I went to stand up from picking up the paper, I almost passed out. The pain was excruciating. I got completely dizzy and thought I was going to fall. And then like over two nights on the devotional, you shared it with the people and you said, pray for Andy's back.
Miraculous.
Thursday, I was in it. It's still in excruciating pain. Friday.
Gone.
After the last prayer request, I have no pain. I was playing pickleball with my son. I was playing basketball. I was in the pool. The kids were jumping on my back.
Prayer works. Don't give up, folks.
And he's going, I don't understand.
I could tell when he got out of the bed. I looked at him and I was like, hey, are you all better? And he's like, I don't know. I think so. And it was.
And what miraculous. Did I do? What did I do?
You want me to tell them your little dancing?
Yeah, I did a dance. You don't have to tell what kind of dance.
Oh, okay.
I did a little dance.
You did a little
dance. I danced and I was like, going, oh my God, look at, see right now, I couldn't do that.
He couldn't.
On Thursday, Friday, I wake up and I can do this. And I was doing a dance.
It was amazing.
And then playing pickleball.
And then playing pickleball.
And basketball. I was playing horse.
It was amazing. You just promise you're going to take care of yourself when you go back to the gym. It just needs you to more.
I can't. Well, you know what's so funny? Because I was trying and I was holding off taking these drugs that the doctor gave. They gave me steroids. And
nothing
gave me some
narcotic. Muscle relaxers and steroids.
Yeah, they thought, well, we're going to have to give you something a little bit stronger. And I go, you know what? I'm not going to take it. I didn't want to take it that night. And I forget why, because I didn't have food in my stomach or something like that. So I go, you know, I'm going to start it tomorrow. I didn't even start it. And I was curious. It wasn't from the medication, because I was kind of laughing like, wow, I wonder, that's kind of. And I remembered everybody prayed and my back pain was gone. It was amazing. Thank you.
Thank
everybody.
You.
Everybody who prayed.
Thank you.
Including you, Shana, because I know you prayed for my back. A lot.
I did. I actually had a long talk.
I think you're praying for yourself about my back.
I had a long talk to Jesus about the back. Because I didn't sign up for that. I took on as a man. Jesus had a very clear understanding of what I signed up for. And I feel like Jesus was like, I can't stop him. He is just hurting himself. And what do you want me to do about it? And I was like, I get it. We're going to have a long talk once he's healed, but I can't have this go on too much longer.
Yeah, you were praying for a back. You're praying for yourself not to have a husband who had a bad back.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing?
It is.
Is it?
I think my friends will say it's the same thing.
I wonder which one healed me. Was it that prayer that healed me, or was it my friends who actually care about my pain and prayed for my pain?
I think it's both.
Really?
I do.
Okay. Oh, Jim's AFib.
We will definitely pray for
you. Finally stopped 2 hours ago.
Oh,
wow.
I don't know what AFib is. What is it?
I think it's heart palpitations, but it's stronger.
Oh,
it is like it's your heartbeat is out of sync.
So is it like erratic heartbeat? Like, does he have some kind of a monitor that tells him? Mm. Yes. Carrie, not only did I sign up for COVID, I signed up for COVID. I signed up for cancer. I signed up for lots of children. A very mean and nasty ex-wife. All of those I knew. All of them. PTSD. You know, poor Andy. He's been shot at. He's been hit in the head. He's got like all these things. All of that stuff I signed up for. But I did not sign up for a bad back. Because that means he can't help me do anything. I'm the one with the bad back. That we knew.
Or the side effects of prostate cancer. You didn't sign up for that either.
I didn't sign up for that either. Me and Jesus, you know, when you have that relationship with Jesus where you're just like, I know what he's promised. Like, I know as clear as day what he's promised. I know what I've signed up for. And every time one of the things I've signed up for irritates me, I'm like, and he looks at me and he's like, honey, you signed up for this, so I don't want to hear it out of you.
Oh my gosh.
But that, no, I didn't sign up for that. And he says, I know you didn't, but he's a little reckless. He's a little reckless.
So Jan says,
goes fast the whole time. He's going to see the heart doctor in 2 weeks. See if ablation will help.
Hey, Jim, what you got to say is, you know, it's every time I look at you, Jan, that my heart does this. And you have to say it with sincerity. Just look at her, grab her by the face and say, oh my gosh, my heart is a flutter every time I look at you.
So that, in other words, he has to tell her she makes him miserable.
You may cause me to die because your beauty is so amazing.
Unsurpassed.
You see me do it on the show. Yeah, I look overhead in, I think.
Ed has AFib too. I remember Carrie telling me that too.
Oh, wow. 82. So pray for both of them. I don't have my watch. I have the other watch on. But on my Apple Watch.
Yes.
I have it on the heart thing all the time. I check my heart rate all the time. Yeah. And I do notice when I look at you, it's like way high. It's incredibly high.
Okay. So we got two prayer requests. Lisa, you didn't answer me. You didn't answer me whether you're feeling okay. Keep praying for John and I for endurance and rest. She did answer. Sorry about that. I missed it in the fluttering of today's chats. Yes. Rest.
Jim and Ed. And Lisa.
Oh, dear Lord, thank you for joy. Thank you for your peace and your joy that is just supernatural. It's something that passes all understanding. It's something that I had never experienced before meeting you. Thank you for making us members of your family. Thank you for allowing us to be members of the body of your church, and that you will return for a spotless bride, Lord, and that we will remain faithful and vigilant and courageous and strong. All the qualities that you have taught us throughout the centuries in your Old Testament, all the way through to the New, of what you expect of us in terms of righteousness and holiness, Lord. Give us the strength, give us the endurance to keep your commandments and to love you with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We ask for blessings for our friends that are suffering from ailments, Lord, for Jim and for Eddie that have AFib, Lord, that you just make a right beat in their hearts, that there's a steady beat, Lord, that you give their minds and their bodies rest along with Lisa and John, Lord. It's so important to have peace and to have rest. You take care of the details, Lord, and so we ask you to remind us of that, and that we will let go of our needs to figure everything out, because we lay it at your feet, Lord, and you will take care of us. And we're so grateful for that. We love you. We honor you with our lives. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we ask for all things. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, I got my mind started to go asking Jesus other questions. Mm. Okay.
You know what we need to do just before we need to get t-shirts in a store. Where I went to the graduation party today, and I could have sold 10 of these shirts today.
Oh, you just set up an Etsy store, but are you allowed to resell them?
I don't know. So this one says, God, guns, and Trump.
I think that one's going to be a very popular one.
Yes, everybody loves this shirt.
But you bought it at the...
At a table on the side of Yorba Linda Boulevard down.
I don't think you're allowed to remake somebody else's. I don't know.
It's not copyrighted.
Know. Who knows?
Nobody's copyrighted God or guns or Trump.
Right? I don't know. No, but the design I would think is copyrighted.
Yeah. I don't know, but I could have sold a bunch of them. I should go.
Yeah, you should go in the t-shirt business because people love your t-shirt. And it's all used.
Yes. All right, my friends. We love you guys.
Love you.
You guys are God the best. Make sure and share, like, and hit the bell. Yeah, subscribe. All right, my friends. Goodbye.
Good night.